As we think about the events of Christmas, one of the consistent appearances is the appearance of angels. And Scripture tells us that angels are real. Jesus tells us that angels are real. And I'd just like, as a way of an introduction, to give you a few facts about angels. I'm going to save you about 2 hours of Bible study. First of all, angels are created beings. And they were created by God the Father and by Christ. Now you may stop and think, now wait a minute, how did Jesus create angels? You know, there was definitely some angels before Jesus appeared. And yes, that's true. Before he appeared as a baby. Before he appeared in the flesh. But you see, Jesus has been one with the Father from eternity past. The prophets foretold that a Messiah was coming, a king that was coming. And you may remember that when the wise men came to town, they created quite a stir in the city of Jerusalem because they came to worship the king of the Jews. And King Herod was clueless. And so he got the priests together and he said, I need some help here, guys. Tell me about this king of the Jews. And so the priests looked in the scriptures. They quoted the prophet Micah, who said that the king, the Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. And then in that same verse, it's Micah 5, verse 2, it says this, and he will be from eternity past. In other words, this king is not going to be some common Joe. This king would be the Lord himself. And that's what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, and it'll be the mighty God. The mighty God is coming. And so Jesus, who is one with the Father from eternity past, took on flesh and became a baby and lived among us. And that is the story of Christmas. Colossians 1, verse 15 says this, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Secondly, angels worship God and Christ. The fact that the angels worship Jesus is an indication of his deity. Thirdly, they are ministering spirits. In other words, they're not flesh and blood like us. They are spirits, and their purpose is to minister, to help, to encourage, to inform, and to accomplish God's purpose. And that leads to the fourth fact about angels. Their purpose is to obey the will of God. And by the way, that's our purpose too. Fifthly, they communicate the will of God and the will of Christ. Sixthly, they carry out the purposes of God. Seventh, they carry out the judgments of God. Eighthly, they are under the authority of Christ. 1 Peter 3 says, Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, the angels and authorities and powers have been made subject to him. Ninthly, the angels will accompany Jesus when he returns. Jesus himself says, and the Son of Man will send forth his angels to gather the elect. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 says this, and Jesus is talking. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. That is something that Jesus says will happen in the future. Then, tenthly, angels know and delight in the gospel of Christ. They long to look forward to salvation and the redemption of the world. Then, 11th, it says that the angels rejoice over every sinner who repents. 12thly, they have charge over the children of God. Jesus says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones who want to come to Jesus, in other words. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. And then, lastly, they are not to be worshipped nor prayed to. I mention that because there's kind of a surge of this obsession with angels that even involves angel worship. There's an incident, there's actually several incidents, but I'm reminded of the incident in Revelation where John is so overwhelmed by this angel that he falls down before the angel. And the angel says, "Oh, no, 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 don't worship me. Stand up. I'm just a servant." We're not to worship angels. And so as we look at the events of the birth of Christ, we see that angels came as messengers from heaven. And here's the message that they brought. Do not be afraid. You know, we need that message today. We have a lot to be afraid of. I'll list a few. Many folks are afraid of the future. Disease, death. Some folks are afraid of making mistakes. The fear of failure. The fear of disappointing others. Disappointing parents. Parents afraid of disappointing their kids. A husband afraid of disappointing a wife. Or a wife afraid of disappointing a husband. The fear of disappointing friends. The fear of disappointing God. Then there's the fear of change. The fear of missing out. Not being accepted, or worse, being rejected. The fear of finances. The fear of global calamities, car accidents, plane accidents, a terrorist attack. You know, there's a story of this rookie policeman who was in his first week on the job, and he was walking down the streets, and of course he had read the reports. He knew this neighborhood. He knew that there was a high crime rate in this neighborhood. He knew that there was a high murder rate in this neighborhood. And he saw a lady standing there waiting for the bus. And so he said, "Would you like for me to stand with you while you're waiting?" And she said, "No, that's okay. I'm not afraid." And so he kind of looked around uneasily and said, "Well, then would you mind standing with me?" Now, you may have come here this morning, you know, happy-go-lucky, not a fear on your mind. And here I am. I've dumped all this stuff on you. I apologize. But, you know, Max Lucado wrote this in his book entitled Fearless. Fear never wrote a symphony or a poem, negotiated a peace treaty, or cured a disease. Fear never pulled a family out of poverty or a country out of bigotry. Fear never saved a marriage or a business. Courage did that. Faith did that. People who refused to consult or cower to their timidities did that. But fear itself, fear herds us into a prison and slams the doors. Wouldn't it be great to walk out? And I'm going to say to you this morning, if you have fears in your heart, you can walk out today. And today should be your day to walk out. But just to give a little balance on this subject, fear in God's economy has a purpose. You know, fear is what keeps our little dog on the second floor deck of our house from jumping off to the cement below. Fear is what keeps a kid from running into a busy highway. Fear in itself is not sin, but it can lead us to sin. It can lead us to that point where we cease to trust God. But if we listen to this message that the angels brought from heaven, we can fear less tomorrow than we do today. And that's my prayer for all of us. You have an outline for this, for the passages that we're going to look at this morning on the back of your bulletin. And I just want to mention that last week we talked about the angel appearing to Zacharias. And we're going to look at and talk about those four appearances of the angels. So Zacharias, then there's the appearance to Mary, there's the appearance to Joseph, and then there's the appearance to the shepherds. Last week, we looked at that appearance to Zechariah. You remember, he's the father of John the Baptist. He was a priest, and it was his job on that particular day to go into the holy place. Only the priest was allowed in the holy place, and they only went in one at a time. And suddenly, there was an angel there. He thought he was alone, and suddenly, he realizes there's somebody there, and it scared him to death. And so, the angel said, "Do not be afraid." And of course, Zacharias had his own fears. It wasn't just that he was startled. He had the fear of not having a child, of not seeing his family continue. And of course, we know that God blessed him and gave him John the Baptist. God gave him far beyond what he even could think or imagine. And the Lord does that for us as well, as we trust him and obey him and follow him. This morning, we're going to take a few minutes to look at the passage in Matthew chapter 1 that was read to us earlier. And if you have your Bible, open that, please, to Matthew chapter 1. I'd like to look at it again. And I'd like for you to just think about Mary's place and position. This is Matthew chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. My notes got out of whack. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, now you may think, the sixth month of what? Well, it would be the sixth month of Zechariah and Elizabeth's pregnancy. John the Baptist is now 6 months in the womb. And so this is 6 months approximately after the angel appeared to Zacharias, and now he's appearing to Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Now, Mary was, a young lady. She had no position or power, no prestige. She lived in a remote town in Israel. For the Jewish people, all the important people lived in Jerusalem. All the important religious things that happened in Jerusalem. And so, it would be easy for Mary to think. Thank you. That's a missing page of my notes. It would be easy for Mary to think, I'm insignificant. I'm not important. God will never use me. I'm just going to, kind of do my best and make it through life the best I can. But even though she may have viewed herself like that, God knew exactly who she was, where she was, and what her heart was like. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And he saw this lady, and he knew her name. And I want to tell you that God knows you. He knows where you are. Even though you live in an insignificant town like Pine Mountain Club, God knows your name. And he has great things for each and every one of us. And so here is Mary, and the angel says first to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." She was engaged, anticipating being married, but she was troubled by these words by the angel. And it's easy to panic at the unexpected. A lot of us like to have everything under control. But then we find that even the best plans go wrong. You try to cook a soft-boiled egg, and it comes out a hard-boiled egg. You try to do something nice for somebody and make them happy, and you end up making them mad. Some people fear interruption. Every phone call is a threat to them. You get that letter in the mail, and they open it with fear. Don't like change. Don't like interruption. But when God interrupts your day, great things are going to happen. And that's what happened to Mary. She found favor with God. She would be a part of a miracle. She would be a part of God's plan to redeem the world. And I want you to know that God has a plan for each one of us to be a part of his kingdom that is going to change and redeem the world. There's nothing more exciting than that. And his plan to include us in redeeming the world is just a matter of us following Jesus. to read his word, to seek to please him, and he'll lead us. And Mary was that kind of girl. It was in her heart to please God. And as a result, she found favor with God. And there is the source for courage, finding favor with God. You know, the person who lives in disobedience, the person who lives for himself, will never have courage. Courage comes from God. At least any courage that will have any eternal significance. And that's the kind of person that Mary was. She had found favor in God, with God, and as a result, God chose her for this special ministry of giving birth to the Messiah who would be the King of the world. So there is the fear of the unexpected. Then there's the fear of personal loss. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 1 now to look at the angel when he appeared to Joseph. Joseph had it a little easier, I think, because the angel did not appear to him in bodily form as he did to Zacharias and as he did to Mary, but rather the angel appeared to him in a dream. And so in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph is snoozing, and here's what Scripture says. Chapter 1, starting with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So here's Joseph. And just to give you a little cultural background, in the Jewish culture, there was, before marriage, a betrothment or engagement. And this engagement could last a couple of years. But that engagement was just as binding as marriage. And so when Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant and he had nothing to do with it, of course he thinks that she has committed adultery. That's how they viewed it. And we know that Joseph was a good man. And all of a sudden, you know, he gets hit with this awful blow. Mary is pregnant. His dreams were shattered. He thought he would lose Mary. And there's that fear of loss, and it is powerful. How real it is to lose a child, to lose a spouse, any family member, or to lose a friend, even to lose a pet, to lose a job or an opportunity. And I want you to note that he was not afraid of the angel, but of the loss. We may fear personal loss, the loss of money, the loss of home, the loss of a reputation. And fear holds back blessing. Fear makes us afraid to love, afraid to live. But the good news in this visitation from the angel is that Joseph would not lose Mary. He would gain more than he ever imagined. Now, what if Joseph had not obeyed God? Forget it. I can't ruin my reputation by taking this woman who committed adultery. And if I do take her, everyone's going to think that I violated her before the wedding. Either way, he can't win. So he had a choice. He was either going to please God or please other people. And thank God he chose to please God. He took Mary as his wife. So there is a fear of interruptions, the fear of loss, and then the fear of meeting God. And I'd like for us to turn to Luke chapter 2 as we see the angels appearing to the shepherd. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. So in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, we're getting the Christmas story from a number of angles here this morning. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. He is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Now, I want you to think about this. Here's these shepherds. They're out in the fields just like they were the night before, and the night before, and the night before. It's just another night for them. It's dark. You know, there's no electricity. There's not streetlights. There's not, you know, a town nearby that presents, you know, these pretty sparkly lights like we see when we drive down to Santa Clarita, you know, at nighttime. They perhaps had a fire going, and by this time there's nothing but coals. And so there's this glow. Perhaps it was a starry night. And then suddenly, bam, you know, the whole place is flooded with light. You know, they probably, you know, squinted. And they're aware of these beings around them. And so, yes, they were terrified. Suddenly, they're standing in the presence of heavenly beings. And heavenly beings carry with them, you can see this if you, throughout Scripture, they carry with them this aura that strikes fear in puny flesh and blood, people like us. And they're surrounded by this host from heaven. And they're terrified. Their fear was because of the glory of God. God's power and majesty is overwhelming. In order for us to be comfortable with that kind of majesty and glory and power, we're going to have to be changed. And eventually, that will happen. Scripture says that those of us who belong to Christ will be changed. We'll have to be changed so that we can be a part of the heavenly host. You may have a fear of meeting God this morning. When we learn about the Lord Jesus, we learn about God and we find out that He is pure, that He is holy, that He is righteous. Those words are like way above us. And we realize that God is way above us. We wonder why God would even have anything to do with us. We wonder why He would love us. We wonder why He would want to bring us into His family. But He does. And that's the news of the Christmas story. That God is sending a Savior so that we can be changed, so that we can be united with Him, so that we can have our sins forgiven, so that we can inherit eternal life and become what we were created to become. A life, eternal life, in union with our Creator. That's God's desire and plan for us. And so the coming of the Savior was that first step of God coming to us, of God communicating with us, of God coming to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Because of our sin, we're the ones that deserve to die. God, seeing the problem, said, "Okay, I'm going to take care of that problem. I'll pay the penalty for their sin." And so God Himself places Himself in the womb of Mary, is born a helpless baby, grows up among us. No one can ever accuse Him of not knowing what it's like to live on this earth. No one can accuse Him of knowing what it's like to be rejected or misunderstood. Jesus knows. No one can accuse God of not knowing what it's like to be tempted. He was tempted in all things, and yet He was faithful to His Father. You may be afraid of meeting God this morning, but here's the good news. God loves you, and He sent His Son to be your Savior and your King. That's the greatest news the world has ever heard, the greatest news that has ever been told. And we need to not only tell it, not only share it, but proclaim it. And so, I want to tell you this morning in conclusion, and this will be kind of a lengthy conclusion. But God wants to take away your fear. That's why he gave us his word, the scripture. That's why we must daily read his word. Because in God's word, we know that God is here. We know what he's like. We learn of his love and care for us. And that's why God sent the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the word made flesh. And scripture says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. That's what God desires for us, not fear, but rather power and love and self-discipline. And so he's calling all of us to reject fear and receive his courage. Listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "So don't be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. And God knows every sparrow on earth." Jesus says in Matthew 9, "Take courage, my son. Your sins are forgiven." You remember that's the story of the man that was paralyzed. And he came to Jesus for healing. And I'm sure this man felt guilty. He thought maybe perhaps because it was the view of that day that if there was something wrong with you, then God was obviously mad at you. If there's something wrong with you, God was punishing you. And Jesus sets the record straight. Jesus takes the load off his shoulders. Your sins are forgiven. You can't have courage if you're loaded with guilt. Jesus came to take away that guilt. Jesus said in Matthew 6, "I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether or not you have enough." In Luke verse 8, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe in me." He was talking to Jairus. Jairus had a daughter who was near death. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Just believe in me, and your daughter will be well." In Matthew 14, Jesus says, "Take courage, I am here." That's our courage, the presence of the Lord in us. Jesus says in Matthew 10, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." And we need to know that no one can kill our soul. We belong to the Lord. He holds us in his hands, and Jesus says, "No one will ever snatch them out of my hand." Jesus says in Luke 12, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Woo! Think about that. It is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus says in John 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." That's God's plan for us. Now let me give you some practical solutions for fear. First of all, make a list of your fears. Secondly, pray. Tell God your fears. And then thirdly, take action. Treat fear like a mosquito. A couple of weeks ago, I was watering, rose bushes, and we have some fruit trees. And I'm standing there with a hose, and this mosquito lands right on my hand. I'm not going to sit there and wait for him to stick his needle in my hand. It's like, that's what we need to do the fear. We need to swat him like a mosquito. And when you do fear has a close cousin. It's worry. And we need to treat worry like a tick. You see that tick crawling on your arm? Just flick it off. Trust God. Listen to the message from heaven brought by the angels. Do not be afraid. We serve a God who loves us, who is here, who has demonstrated his love for us by going to the cross for us. And scripture says, "He who did not spare his own son, how will he not also freely give us all things?" God is sovereign. Things take us by surprise, but nothing ever takes God by surprise. When things happen to us that we don't expect, we can know that God has allowed it into our life and he'll use it for good. He has this wonderful promise that I claim often. "For God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. God can use anything, even evil, even a terrorist attack, for his good and purpose if we'll only trust him. If a terrorist were to walk into this building right now, he would not be able to take our soul away. Our soul belongs to the Lord. We love this world too much, I can tell you that. And we're not to love this world nor the things in the world. But we're to love our Lord, to trust him, and know that we have nothing to fear. If we trust him, we can live a life of confidence and courage. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this powerful message that the angels brought. We thank you that there is no fear in you. We thank you that in you we can have confidence and courage. And right now, Lord, we confess that we often don't trust you, and as a result of not trusting you, we fear. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would remind us of your admonition not to fear. We pray that you would remind us of your love and care. We pray that you would remind us of your sovereignty over our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that your plans for us are good, to give us a future and a hope, as you say in your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would so work in us that we would talk to you and listen to you, that we would read your word, that we would make it our priority to know Jesus and to trust him and to follow him in all things. And as we go through these coming weeks and prepare for the celebration of Christmas, we pray, Lord, that we would remember these words of the angel. Do not be afraid. Amen. When we think about this child in the manger, we know who this child is. This child is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, who came that we might have life and life everlasting. Would you stand with us as we sing this great carol, What Child Is This?
Shepherds call.